This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
One of the largest earthquakes in history, an 8.8 earthquake off the coast of Russia, happened earlier last night. And earlier this, I think it was earlier last night, and this morning, last night, whatever.
Yeah, the time difference between there.
It doesn't matter. But recently, there was a devastating 8.8 earthquake off the coast of Russia, which is, I believe, the third highest in the last 50 years that we have seen. And not only has that caused damage, but obviously, it has also sent tsunami waves across the globe, really. But so there's tsunami. Warnings at almost, you know, like right now in Hawaii, Russia, Japan. So we're thinking of everybody who might, you know, fall in the path of this. This is scary stuff. Every once in a while, the earth pops up and reminds us how scary and dangerous it can be. So hopefully everyone stays safe. And hopefully it's far less dangerous and impactful than we fear. But hopefully that's what happens out in Hawaii, you know, and Japan and Russia and anywhere else where this wave might be sent. So hopefully everyone's safe. We're thinking about everybody. Scary time, scary situation. But we get back to what we do here and talk a little sports. And the Yankees won a big game last night. And the Toronto Blue Jays lost a big game last night. And the Toronto Blue Jays, who everyone seems to be really mad at me for calling frauds. I've been calling them frauds for 3 years, mind you. More than that, since September of 2001, I've been calling the Blue Jays frauds. But everyone seems to get very mad at me for calling the Blue Jays frauds, as they were kicking ass and had the best record in baseball, and now they just lost four in a row, three to the lousy Baltimore Orioles, including a doubleheader yesterday. And now with the Yankees' victory, they picked up a game and a half. And they are four games back, three in the loss column, with 50-some-odd games to play. So I guess Gio was confused this morning and maybe thought he heard me say something different. Obviously, the Yankees are not selling. The Yankees should not be selling. I heard a caller call in as I was driving in listening to Keith, and the guy said, well, if the Yankees fall out of it. If the Yankees fall out of it, the trade deadline's tomorrow. The Yankees aren't falling out of it. There is no selling. Now, when I say selling, that does not mean that they don't possibly trade players on the roster to improve other aspects of the roster. Grisham might get traded to impact somewhere else, bullpen, starting rotation. Dominguez might get traded to impact somewhere else. Ben Rice might get traded to impact this team. So those aren't selling moves. That's making trades to improve areas, to take extra of what you have and trade from your depth and acquire areas of need. So we'll see what happens, and we'll get into that as we get through the show. And tomorrow, obviously, because they're in desperate need of bullpen arms. I don't think there's any doubt. I would love a starting pitcher. They need that too, as they really don't have a third starting pitcher you'd feel comfortable with. Although Luis Gil apparently looked great in his most recent AAA rehab assignment and is expected to now start Sunday against the Marlins, which would be a sight for sore eyes. Desperately need him. So maybe he could be the third starting pitcher that you would feel confident in putting in a rotation. But they need, in a playoff rotation, they desperately need starter. They desperately need bullpen help. I don't think they need anything more offensively, although there's talk about maybe another infielder, a right-handed outfield bat, now with the injury to Judge and what that presents. And they talked about that. Boone talked about that on Talking Jake. I shouldn't say Talking Jake. It was just with Jake. It's Talking Yanks, but there was no John Boy. It was just Jake who did the interview. That's why I said that. But he talked about how long it's going to be. He's already hitting off a tee. It sounds like Aaron Judge will be back after the 10 days as an offensive player. I think that, who knows? It might be a day or two longer than that. But it sounds like they're pretty confident he's going to be able to swing a bat for them pretty damn close to when he's eligible to come off the IL. The issue is, how long is he going to have to DH? How long is he going to have to be a strictly DH player? Because the longer that goes, I'm sorry, I said this yesterday, we don't have to keep rehashing it, I find it damn near impossible to believe that Giancarlo Stanton is going to be in the outfield. I find it damn near impossible. So while they gave him the day off yesterday, and again, people get all upset, this is why he's not going to play the outfield. He's got two tennis elbows. It took him half the year to get here. Like, they can't play him 5-6 days in a row, 7 days in a row. They got to keep him healthy. He tweaks hamstrings and calf muscles at the drop of a hat, and he's got two elbows that cost him half the season. It's not that they believe, let's just give him a day off today. They want to keep him healthy and productive, and that means giving him days off every once in a while, even in important games right now. But that's my point. They can't play him 5 days in a row because of his elbows, because of his hamstring, because of his calf muscles, but they're going to let him go play right field? It's never going to happen. I would be shocked. I'd be shocked if it ever happens. So that's the problem with the Aaron Judge injury. The problem with the Aaron Judge injury is that how long does he have to DH? Not that he will be gone forever offensively. How long before they feel comfortable letting him play right field and making throws? Because as long as he's the DH, there is no role for Giancarlo Stanton outside of pinch hitting. And that's a $30-plus million pinch hitter who you want to try and keep in a good mode and keep his swing right for the postseason where you desperately need him. That is a tough spot for the New York Yankees. That's the issue with the Aaron Judge injury. Plus, the idea that if you do push him to get back to right field, he could re-injure it and have that devastating injury. So those are the concerns about the Aaron Judge injury. Not so much that he won't be back into this lineup that desperately needs him, but how long is he just a DH, and how long before they feel confident that he can go out there and make throws and play right field without the real fear of hurting himself. But as far as the game goes, I thought Max Fried, obviously Volpe has a devastating error in the first that leads to two runs. Then he gives up the solo home run in the second. The Yankees tie the game take the lead, but Bellinger hits that home run to make it 3-3. They tie the game. And from that moment on, the ace that we saw all year clicked in. And Max Fried was as good as we've seen him. He had 12 retired batters in a row. His curveball was hitting the edge. Wasn't even getting the call a lot of the time. But his curveball was hitting the edge. He was locating the cutter in. That was vintage Max Fried after the third inning. And that's what aces do. That's what you need from your big-time performer. Yeah, I wish he wouldn't have given up that hit that made it 2. And then the solo home run to make it 3. Not good enough to start the game. But the second this Yankee offense, without Aaron Judge and Cody Bellinger, who has been by far their second most important player on this team, when he hits that home run and the game is tied, Max Fried locked in and gave them no opportunity to come back into this game and gave the Yankees an opportunity to keep tacking on runs. That was not a virtuoso, not an ace necessarily like performance, a complete shutdown of the Rays because he does give up 3 runs. But the minute that game got retied up, he locked in and made sure that those runs were going to be good enough to keep this game. And so that was impressive to me. Then you get to Devin Williams, the other pitching performance. Jonathan Loaisiga comes in and does a decent enough job, still a little bit shaky with two singles, but he gets the double play. He gets out of the jam in the seventh, then he pitches through the eighth. And then you get to Devin Williams in the ninth, who I thought, again, not perfect, right? A base hit, a walk, but he battled through and got through an error from, and again, leadoff hitter, you're up three runs. You want to challenge him. You don't want to walk him. So the guy hits a triple, leadoff the inning. Okay. Sucks, but it is what it is. Then you get the walk, but he battled through, still making excellent pitches. His changeup has been brilliant as of late. I thought he gave you a performance that, you know, makes you feel he was able to battle out of a jam. And he actually had to get four outs in the inning. So I was relatively pleased with him, even though it made it a little shaky. But as long as him and Weaver at the back end of that bullpen, you have to trust them, and I feel like you can, hopefully. And if you can't, then the Yankees have no chance. You can't fix that at the trade deadline. And then you get offensively. Those are the two pitching performances, the starter and the closer. And then you get to the offense that has been much maligned, the offense that, you know, everybody thinks stinks without Judge, and an offense that came through in this game against a pitcher that's pitching really well and is hot. Doesn't have a long history, obviously. Hasn't pitched all that much this year. But what he has pitched, he's been dominant. He throws 99 miles an hour. He's got a good slider. And the Yankees tatted him up. They gave him, you know, they got him for six runs in the middle of that game. Big home runs. Volpe with good at-bats. And what I love to see from the offense, and this was my biggest takeaway from the offensive performance, because we know Bellinger can hit home runs. The biggest takeaway was that they were putting pressure on the opposition. That's what I love to see. When I went into the season, I remember I did the Rico. We did a Yankee Met bet, me and Evan do every year. And I had this bet about the amount of Met home runs from three players. I forget which three. It was definitely Alonso and Lindor and Vientos, I guess. I don't remember. But I was like, home runs versus Yankee stolen bases. Because I honestly believed that you were going to see a ton of stolen bases from Jazz. You were going to see a ton of stolen bases from Jason Dominguez. And you were going to see Anthony Volpe try and really run every time he got on base. Now, clearly, all three of those guys, particularly, you know, Volpe and Dominguez, haven't gotten on bases as much as I would have hoped, although Dominguez has turned it around a lot this year. But they were aggressive on the base paths. Both, you got Dominguez stealing second, getting over to third on a sacrifice fly to left, leads to a run scored from Volpe. Volpe in the double steal with him and Wells. They throw the ball away. He comes in to score. I want to see more of that, especially without Judge. Go out there and be aggressive on the base paths and make the other team make mistakes. Because this has been my point throughout this entire Yankee thing of the bad defense and the miserable plays. Watch baseball. It's not. I'm not saying that these plays don't exist for the New York Yankees. I'm not saying these plays aren't a problem for the New York Yankees. I'm not even saying these problems haven't hampered the New York Yankees over the last couple years and that it's not on the manager in some aspect. I don't put it solely on him, but you watch the rest of Major League Baseball. Every team is sloppy. And I laughed when people were like, you see the problem with the Toronto Blue Jays and the New York Yankees? When you make the Yankees make plays, that's their problem. The team that puts the ball in play, puts pressure on the defense. That's a real struggle for the New York Yankees. That's a struggle for everybody. The Toronto Blue Jays went on a hot run and got the best record in baseball doing it against everyone. Look around Major League Baseball. There are mistakes all over the place. I just pointed out one tonight with Bob Melvin, who's one of the better managers in the game. Many people think Bob Melvin is one of the best managers in the game. The San Francisco Giants didn't know how the infield fly rule works. It was an infield fly rule against Pittsburgh. Cabrian Hayes lets the ball drop, and the runner at second base doesn't go back to the bag, and he gets picked off a second. That's one of the best managers in the game, and his team doesn't know how sacrifice flies work. You want to talk about fundamentals? If you put pressure on the opponent in today's baseball, mistakes are made. And it's not just the Yankees. That's not to avoid them from blame because they should be better. But you look around baseball, I can point out four or five plays just like that every single night. Every single night. So go out there and be the team that applies the pressure. And they have guys who can do it. Dominguez is blinding fast. Jazz can steal bases. I don't know if he's still dealing with a little bit of a groin, or an oblique or whatever the case may be, but he stopped running. Go out there and run. Dominguez, Volpe, Jazz, go out there and steal bases. Go run. Bellinger can run. Go steal bases, especially during this time where Judge is down. So you saw that with the home run, with your ace shutting down the game, and your reliever, while not perfect, dealing with pressure and getting extra outs that his defense made him get. So overall, you couple that with the idea that I'm an idiot and I haven't checked the final score. It was still in the ninth inning when I got into my car. But I believe the Texas Rangers lost, the Seattle Mariners lost, and the Toronto Blue Jays lost. The Red Sox won. But the Blue Jays, it is a three-game loss, three games in the loss column. This thing isn't over. You got to go out there and attack the bullpen, attack the rotation, get Aaron Judge back, go play in August against a lot of bad teams. One, the easiest schedule, win percentage-wise, the easiest schedule in the American League for the month of August. Go out there, figure this thing out, start playing better, fix your holes in the deadline, get guys coming back from injury, whether it be Luis Gil, whether it be Leiter, or whether it be obviously Cruz, who would be important to this bullpen. Go get the guys back, get Aaron Judge back, go out there and play well in August, and whether it's the wild card or the division or anything in between, get to the postseason and play well once you get there. That's what this team is trying to accomplish. They're not selling. They're not punting on the season. They are going to be aggressive, and Brian Cashman needs to go out there and be aggressive and dramatically improve this pitching and go out there and try and chase down a Blue Jays team that was hot for a while, has lost four games in a row, and see if you can somehow catch them and, dare I say, put a little of fraud back into them because they have been frauds. This Blue Jays team has not been. But the Blue Jays as a whole in the Vladimir Guerrero era have been frauds, and they fold, and they're 0-6 in playoff games. Go chase them down. Put a little bit of fear in them while you're playing the White Sox, while you're playing the Miami Marlins, who have been better, but while you're playing some of the lousy teams in baseball. Go chase them down. The season's not over. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Luzzy in Lakewood. Is it Luzzy or Luzzy? I'm sorry, bud.
Luzzy
in Lakewood. What's up, Luzzy?
Hey, how's it going, C-Mac? Real quick, I don't know if you went on this rant yet, but I did not hear your visor rant yet this summer. I can't go through a summer without hearing you rant about your visor.
Yeah, no, listen, you know what's funny? Hold on one second. Sorry, I had to clear my throat. I am a huge visor guy, and I still have multiple visors, and when I was in high school, I made visors cool. I had about 10 different visors that matched my sneakers and my outfits. I was a big visor guy. And I still am on some level. But I have to admit, I've started to kind of get into hats a little bit more, wearing them backwards. I still think frontwards makes my face look too round. But that's the benefit of the visor. And I can still kind of do my hair, and my hair pops up. And I need some height with my head, because I look a lot like Wilson from Castaway. I'm very round in the face. But I need a little bit of height, whether it's a big hat or whether my hair is allowed to protrude out of the visor. But I do love visors. I'm a big summertime visor guy. Nothing wrong with visors. People talk like they're uncool. You guys are lost. Visors are the best.
this is my point. You were talking about how if the Yankees trade Dominguez and Rice, it wouldn't be selling. It would be just making the team better in other areas.
Yes.
If the Yankees were selling, I don't think they should sell, but if the Yankees were selling, wouldn't you not trade away your young players?
Absolutely.
Because if you would trade, like, you want, all you want to get back is young players. So you
correct.
Keep your,
yeah, no, if selling
players.
Is not Dominguez or Rice, 100% agree with you. That's why I'm saying, like, when I say they could move pieces off this roster, because typically that's not what you do at the trade deadline. You very rarely, pay Peter to, rob Peter to pay Paul. You very rarely do that at the trade deadline. This trade deadline is just different. This Yankee roster is a bit different because they have some of these young guys making impact on the everyday roster. So you could see more of that than you would normally see. Normally, it's you're going to try and get a veteran player who's at either a year of control or a rental player, and you're going to trade prospects who haven't made the major leagues yet. That's typically a trade deadline move. But there are so many guys on this roster that they have duplicates of, or they have depth at first base and outfield, where you could see where they desperately need pitching and maybe the right side of the infield or whatever. Like, you could see guys on this roster be moved to make way for players that fit other
needs.
Yeah,
would you trade White Rice away for Goldschmidt, who's on his last year on his contract? The one year deal, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to trade him away for Goldschmidt, but my point is I have Goldschmidt on the team. If anybody wants Goldschmidt instead of Rice, okay, fine. But Rice is the one with value. I'll trade Rice to get the value at the other position, and then I'll have to go out and sign a first baseman next year.
You're potentially throwing away your cheap first baseman for the next couple of years.
Correct. To go chase this team, and how do I feel about him as a first baseman? And do I feel like Ben Rice, who, let's be honest, I like Ben Rice. He hits the ball hard. He's got almost an 800 OPS now, but he's also hitting 210. Like, I mean, is he someone I can't part with to go and really give myself a chance this season? To me, he's not. For the right deal, right control of a starting pitcher, again, I'm not doing it for rentals, but if I use Rice in a package that gets me, say, Duran, another reliever, and possibly like a Ryan or another starting pitcher with control, why wouldn't I be willing to move Ben Rice?
I hear you.
Thank you so much for taking my call. No problem, Leslie. I appreciate it. Like, Ben Rice isn't untouchable to me. Yeah, I'm not going to trade him for some, you know, just a bullpen piece that is a free agent at the end of the year. No, I got to get legitimate control, but he's the one with value. If Paul Goldschmidt was the one with value, I'd trade Paul Goldschmidt, but he doesn't have the value. I'm looking to impact the team in a major way. Get a starting pitcher with control. Get a reliever with control. And for that, I would trade Paul Goldschmidt. For that, excuse me, obviously. Now, that I would trade Rice, or I'd even trade Dominguez in the right package. I don't want to trade Dominguez necessarily and have to be for something really significantly good. But like, say, the Minnesota Twins are enamored with Jason Dominguez, and I can get Ryan and Duran for a package of Dominguez and then some lesser minor league players, I think I'd have to do that. I think I'd have to do that. You get Duran, who's under contract for the next 2 years, so I have my closer that I can let Williams walk at the end of the year. So I'm going to save money there. He's a cost-effective closer for the next 2 seasons, and I got Ryan, who's a good starting pitcher in my rotation, and think of the rotation next year when Cole comes back. And yeah, it cost me Dominguez, but I can go out and buy Kyle Tucker.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Yeah, I'm open to those kind of moves. John and Bayonne, what's up, John?
Hey, Chris, I don't know how you feel, but I'm really upset how the station bashed Derek Jeter for not coming to the All-Star game. And I think he's
coming to Old Timers Day where they're celebrating the 2000 champions.
Right. And I think I think he's got a lot of class because him and Cashman don't see eye to eye. I'm sorry. Cashman slapped him in the face by
getting A-Rod.
Yeah, remember when he traded Soriano and got A-Rod?
Yeah.
And told A-Rod he might be the shortstop, and Jeter said, no way, go third base. And then he wanted Tulowitzki. Well, Cashman has a lot of bad taste with his signings and his trades. I mean, you look at Bryce Harper, we should have signed him.
Right, you're getting off topic. I understand what you're saying, but you're getting off topic.
I'm not trying to get off. I'm trying to say how Cashman wants it his way. He doesn't want it the team's way. That's why Boone is the manager, because Boone listens to him. I mean, there's a lot of bad mistakes he made, and he did that to Jeter. And when Jeter went to the Marlins and was part of the owner, whatever he was down here, that organization didn't want to be like the Yankees. It would have been great if Cashman would say, why don't you come aboard, be manager or something, and get
Jeter
in the mix.
Derek Jeter has no interest in being manager of a ball club. He can't show up to Old Timers Day. He's going to be in uniform for 162. He has absolutely zero interest in being on a coaching staff.
Well, listen, did he get involved with the Marlins, part ownership?
He did. And it was a disaster, and he got fired and left. It was a disaster in Miami. It was a disaster. They got worse.
Yeah, because it wasn't the Yankee organization. Listen to me. C-Mac, listen to something. I mean, he's one of the greatest shortstops we ever had.
Oh, he's not one of. He is the greatest shortstop they've ever had.
Thank you.
I don't think anyone disputes that, but I disagree with you on a lot of points, John. I got to be totally honest with you. I disagree with you on a lot of points. I think Derek Jeter is well-deserved of criticism here.
No, I'll tell you the reason why. It's because him and Cashman don't see eye to eye.
So what? What does that have to do with you, John, who thinks he's the greatest shortstop in the Yankee history, and you want to see him as the captain of the 2000 championship team walk out and tip his cap and acknowledge what has made his life and career the Yankee fans? What does Brian Cashman have to do with that?
Because Cashman
Brian Cashman. That's fine. And if anybody thinks I cut him off because he's bad-mouthing Cashman, you're dopes. He said it. I get it. He doesn't like Brian Cashman. And Brian Cashman's made a bunch of bad moves. They're not pertinent to his point about Derek Jeter. And Derek Jeter did come out on the record. They've squashed it a little bit. And Derek Jeter came out and said, once I got as an executive, I kind of understood a little bit more where Brian Cashman was coming from. But yeah, Brian Cashman, or at least the Yankee organization, he wanted his dealings that offseason where they were working on the contract, he wanted it to be kept under wraps, and someone inside the Yankees, whether it be Brian Cashman or someone who worked for him, which is the same thing, it's his organization, leaked some of the stuff, and Derek Jeter was unhappy with it. And rightfully so. That's fine. But I'm sorry. His disdain, whatever how strong it may be for Brian Cashman, has nothing to do with honoring a championship team that he was the captain of to go celebrate it in front of the Yankee fans who do nothing but adore him. And a Yankee organization that gave him a chance to live out his dream and create his successful life. Now, he went out and took it and did it. Nobody gave it to him. But, I mean, they gave him the opportunity to go take it, and he did and ran with it and had a Hall of Fame career. And I love him. We all love him. But if you're the captain of the team, you should be there. And the Alex Rodriguez trade, first of all, nobody asked. Nobody. You're completely wrong and mistaken. Nobody asked Derek Jeter to move off shortstop. Nobody. They knew going into it, Alex Rodriguez was going to have to move to third base. Alex Rodriguez okayed that from the very beginning. There was never a misconception that he was going to take over shortstop for Derek Jeter. Never. And even Derek Jeter in the documentary said, I have to give Alex that. He never once suggested playing shortstop. Nobody in his camp ever tried to make it happen through back channels. Like, he went out and attacked being the third baseman of the New York Yankees and did his absolute best to try and become the best third baseman he could. Even Derek Jeter admits that. There was never a moment of trying to supplant Derek Jeter as the shortstop. Then at the end of Derek Jeter's career, where all we want is to hold players accountable and tell players the truth and be honest with us and them, he told them the truth. He said, your defense isn't what it used to be. You're at the end of your career. We still want to have you, but we need you at this level. After all of the money you made for the organization and all the money that you got paid for in the years you were great, this is what we believe. And then he asked them, who would you rather have? And they were honest with him and said, well, right now, Troy Tulowitzki is a better player. And that was such a blow to Derek Jeter's ego and the leaking that it hurt him. And I'm sorry, the other thing about Alex Rodriguez, and I'll say this forever, I said it then, I'll say it now. The low point for me of Derek Jeter is, as captain of the New York Yankees, he did zip zero to try and make Alex Rodriguez feel comfortable as a New York Yankee. This was the best player in the world coming over. He acquiesced his position to you. He's a part of now the New York Yankees, who it's about winning championships. That's all you care about. And I totally agree. That's all he ever cared about. Derek Jeter is a team guy, a winning guy. I don't think he's selfish. I don't think anything other than that. He was about winning. He was about the New York Yankees and winning. And yet an article from 5-6 years earlier was more important to him than trying to help the best player in the world who could help them win feel comfortable inside the locker room and get a little bit of appeasement from the fan base. He wanted no part of it. As the captain of the team, he had no interest in making sure that Alex Rodriguez was comfortable and at his best to help the Yankees win. Wanted no part of it. Jason Giambi? Oh, come on, guys. Lay off Jason Giambi. Alex Rodriguez? Nothing. Nothing. That's a low point of Derek Jeter's career for me because he's the captain of the team. And that's a point where he put his own personal bias and his own personal, you know, feelings over what's best for the New York Yankees. And that's not what a captain should do. I'm not saying he was a bad captain. He was a great captain. But that is the one mark against him. And now he's the captain of the 2000 team. A regular old-timers day, I could care less. And I'll be totally honest with you. As a Yankee fan, I want Derek Jeter there. He's the captain. He should be there. But let's be honest. I see Derek Jeter. I know Derek Jeter. He does a million things. He's still working on TV. I know Derek Jeter. I've always thought, and personally got a kick out of it, old-timers day, seeing guys who I haven't seen in forever. I'll use the example because his son's playing, but like, you know, a Clay Bellinger. You want to see a Clay Bellinger show up. You want to see a Ruben Sierra show up. You want to see guys who I haven't heard of or thought of or, you know, those bit role. Let's see Luis Soho, who got the big, you know, six hopper up the middle to win that game six of the World Series. Let me see Luis Soho out there. Like, those are the guys I want to see. I see Derek Jeter all the time. Not that I don't want to see Derek Jeter, don't love and respect Derek Jeter and want him to be there, but for me, especially old-timers day, like, it's like, let me see the guys I haven't seen in a while. How's he doing? I know how Derek Jeter's doing. Fantastic. And God bless him. He deserves it. But like now, because we hate Brian Cashman and because Brian Cashman made trades you don't like and has ran the team in a manner in which you don't approve of and you think another general manager could be better and he's supposed to have Derek Jeter as his as assistant GM, he's supposed to have Jorge Posada as his bench coach, he's supposed to have Paul O'Neill as his hitting coach, he's supposed to have David Cohn as his pitching coach, you know, he's supposed to have Willie Randolph in there helping the infield out, you know, all the stuff I hear constantly, Tino Martinez should be part of the staff, you know. Because he told Derek Jeter the truth at the end of Derek Jeter's career, Derek Jeter is in the right for not showing up to celebrate the 2000 World Series championship team? Come on. He's not. He's wrong. Now, he's got a legitimate excuse, his daughter's birthday. Who am I to tell him what's more important to him in his life? He believes he had to do it on this day. Could you have manipulated the birthday party to later, next weekend or whatever? I suppose you could. In our lives, we do things like that. But I'm not going to tell Derek Jeter how to handle his daughter's birthday party. That's not my place. If he wants to spend time with his family, he gave me championships. I don't need guys to come back and celebrate them. I need guys to give me them. Derek Jeter was an incredible player. He was the World Series MVP of that 2000 World Series. That's what I care about. I don't need him to come out and tip the cap. But should he be there? It's hard not to say he should be. But I don't tell people how they should handle their business. I don't tell people how they should handle their family. He wants to go be with his daughter that day. God bless him. God bless his little girls. He's got a great family. He's become a great, dad. God bless him. I don't hold any ill will. But don't give me this. It's because of Brian Cashman. Can we find anything else we want to blame on Brian Cashman? Is there anything else we could possibly find to blame Brian Cashman for? Derek Jeter chooses not to be with his teammates to celebrate in front of the Yankee fans a championship from 25 years ago against the New York Mets, a one that gave them a three-peat and created a dynasty. He doesn't want to be there because he'd rather be with his daughter, and that's his opinion. And we got to blame Brian Cashman for it. Like, everything is Brian Cashman's fault. Everything. Everything. Now, what Derek Jeter does with his time is Brian Cashman's fault. It's amazing. It's amazing. 888-808-1019. Quick break back after this. 888-808-1019. We'll get to some football. It's obviously Malik Nabers dealing with a toe and now a shoulder. A little bit of a shoulder problem. Scataboo and how he's performing. And Evan Neal at guard. How important will that be? And then with the New York Jets. The one thing, we'll get into this maybe in the 4 o'clock hour. We also got plenty of time to do this. But you're hearing nothing but great things out of camp, the competitiveness. We didn't, like, the comparisons between him and Saleh right now. The new head coach, Aaron Glenn. So many Aarons. Aaron Glenn and Saleh is remarkable. Oh, camp is completely different. The competitive. We used to talk about being competitive. Now in camp, we are competitive. And everything else, this team better come out and not have the same mistakes it did last year. Because that's the difference in this Jet team. The difference in this Jet team is simply culture and coaching. That's it. And we'll see about Fields and how much he even plays in the preseason games with his toe and everything. And, they locked up some guys. But, like, the actual difference on the field or talent-wise isn't really, like, the difference between what we're hoping to see from this team and previous teams is culture and coaching. And that better be freaking evident from day one. Otherwise, like, we're going to start to question what the hell is going on. Like, when you make it this much of a difference, it better show up. Everybody is talking about, oh, the camp is completely different. Oh, we're so much more. We're hitting harder. We're breaking harder. Everything's about competition. And I love what I'm hearing. Don't get me wrong. I love what I'm hearing. Because I think it's the biggest issue the Jets have. I don't think it is talent. I think the biggest issue the Jets have had is coaching. And he's coming out there telling you, this is different. It's coaching. Will McDonald is playing and performing better and doing things that he didn't do prior. Why? Because we're coaching him up. Because he wants to be coaching and we're coaching him. We're going to make it harder in camp. We're going to make it more difficult in camp. We're getting rid of all the all brakes, all gas, no brakes, all the other stuff this is a different environment, a different culture, a different level of coaching. This is going to be a different football team. They better not come out and have 6-7 pre-snap penalties in the first game because it's going to be like, what the hell are we doing? Because that's the only difference. Hopefully, and I don't expect that necessarily, but I just keep thinking like, man, because we have seen coaches come here and talk this game. Joe Judge. Now, again, Aaron Glenn played the game. Aaron Glenn has a track record. Aaron Glenn has a far better resume than Joe Judge. Joe Judge walked into a room and impressed John Mara and got the job and then impressed all of us with his press conference. And remember the same thing. They were running laps for making mistakes. Coaches were running laps for Joe Judge. Coaches. Because everyone had to be held accountable. One of our favorite words around here. Accountability. Joe Judge had it in spades. How'd that go? We've seen coaches come.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Come in here and preach this, and then it doesn't happen. Aaron Glenn better be different, and I think he will be, but it better happen. So a little bit of football as we get through it. And then the Jeter stuff, just real quick before we get back to the calls. And Stu, I see you. I'm going to get right to you. I don't, because I'm already getting some tweets. I don't hate Derek Jeter. I love Derek Jeter. I was born in 1983. Like, I grew up with Derek Jeter winning championships. I adore Derek Jeter. And to be totally honest with you, I don't care if he's there or not. I honestly don't. As a Yankee fan, I don't care. He won me the championship. He hit the home run to lead off the game. He won the MVP. That's what I care about. And I know Derek Jeter enough and have seen Derek Jeter enough where I don't really need him there. I'll be totally honest with you. But he should be there as the captain. How could I say he shouldn't be there? Nah, it's okay. Like, for me, I don't care. But how can I tell you he shouldn't be there? Of course he should be. He's the captain of the team. They're celebrating the championship team. He should be there. And then as far as, like, the Brian Cashman stuff, like, Derek Jeter has every right to not like Brian Cashman. Every right. He told him things he didn't want to hear. Derek Jeter believes, and I can't dispute it because it did hit the papers. Derek Jeter believes that information he promised wouldn't be leaked got leaked. Like, Derek Jeter has every right to be mad at Brian Cashman. I am not defending Brian Cashman in how he handled Derek Jeter. I mean, he told him the truth. I think everyone would be fair that in the moment, while Troy Tulowitzki was taken, you know, was one of the better shortstops in the game, that in that moment he was a better player than Derek Jeter. But yeah, he could have had better tact with Derek Jeter. He could have had better tact with Joe Torre. He could have handled those guys better. Absolutely. And Derek Jeter has every right to think whatever he wants to think about Brian Cashman. That should not impact whether or not he's ever going to be around the Yankees again. I'm sorry. Like, you can't come to an event to celebrate a championship you were part of because you don't like Brian Cashman. I know Evan's thought is he doesn't want to be in the uniform. He doesn't want to play the game. That's silly, too. Like, those aren't significant reasons to not be around and just show up in a suit. No one's going to care if you don't play the game. Show up in a track suit. Give us all a wave and hello. Throw out the first pitch and then be done with it. I don't care. You don't have to play. Whatever it is, whatever ill will he has towards the New York Yankees, that shouldn't stop him from being there for the fan base. That's all. That's all. And the Alex Rodriguez stuff, I've always felt that way. I know Brian. I'm defending Brian Cashman and Alex Rodriguez against Derek Jeter. People must be flipping out. Again, he has every right to hate Brian Cashman. I have no problem with that. I'm not saying Brian Cashman was in the right. Hate away, Derek. You have every right. And he had every right to hate Alex Rodriguez for those comments in the paper. That's fine, too. In the magazine, that's fine, too. But when he became a Yankee, I do feel it's the responsibility of the captain to put that behind him and do what's best for the team. And I honestly don't think he did that. I honestly think he allowed that relationship to cause problems. Gary Sheffield's talking about it now in podcasts, that he showed up to the team expecting the team to be great. Oh, Derek, I'm going to add to this lineup. I'm going to come in and be great like I normally am, and this lineup's going to be unbelievable. And instead, he realized that the relationship between Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter was a problem. And as much as you could say it's on both of them to fix that relationship, it is. Alex Rodriguez wasn't the captain of the New York Yankees. The captain has to make sure it's not impacting the team. That's the captain's job. And he didn't care to do his job because he was too mad. That's just, I don't know how else you see it. That's on him to fix that relationship. It's not on Alex Rodriguez. It's on the captain. Now, there's got to be a give and take, and I promise you, Alex wanted to fix that relationship. And it cost the team. So, I'm just being fair. I love Derek Jeter. I wish he was there, and it doesn't bother me. I have no problem with him missing it for his daughter's birthday. That's his personal, you know, how he wants to live his life. God bless him. He gave me the championships. Now he can go do whatever he wants. That's how I honestly feel. But should he be there? I guess. Yeah, he's the captain of the team. You'd like him to be there. But I care more that he won the games than I do he's not here to celebrate it 30 years later. 25 years later. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Oh, come on. Brian Cashman is an easy target.
Well, he's easy to get blamed for everything.
Right. There you go. Come on, Chris. They have to be aggressive. The trade deadline's tomorrow, right? It's tomorrow, right?
The trade deadline
tomorrow.
It's 6:00 Thursday.
Yeah, we have to get they have to get a bullpen on. And I'm hearing Luis Gil is Sunday against the Marlins.
Yes.
Well, that's a sight for sore eyes. Hopefully he comes back the way he was last year. That would be nice. Max Fried came back with a strong performance.
Yeah, great, really solid performance. Not great to start. You'd like better to start the game, but then
like a little bit better.
What I loved about it is the minute the Yankees tied the game, he locked in. Once that game got tied, he was not going to let the Yankees lose it. So
right.
That's what I like. That's what I like.
He got locked in after the second inning, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, he gave up the home run in the third. It was after the third. They were down 3-0. Then in bottom of the third, Bellinger hits the home run, and then that was it. He wasn't giving up any more runs from that point on.
Okay, and you think they should give Cody a contract extension to keep him on the team? I would say yes.
Well, yeah,
he's an all-around defense. He plays defense at first base, center field, left field, right field.
Absolutely.
I mean, and that play against the Mets.
Yeah, huge play. And I was just thinking whether or not it would be, I totally agree with you keeping him. I was just, for mental bookkeeping, for no reason whatsoever, I was trying to think if it would actually be considered a contract extension. If they could give him an extension, I would definitely do it, but I'm assuming he's going to opt out. Maybe they could talk to him before the opt out and have him opt in and extend the contract. I don't know, but that's just parsing words. I do believe that they should keep Cody Bellinger, 100%.
Well, just for reference, that's basically what KC did with Lugo because he had the opt out this year too.
Right. No, if they do it now, that's exactly what it is. I just don't know if they'll do it now. I don't know if they're focused on now. I don't know if he wants to do it now. But yeah, if it's announced tomorrow, it's a contract extension. But if it's after he opts out, I think it's just a free agent signing. And I also don't know how could they put the qualifying offer on him. I don't know if I care about that either. But I don't know if he's had a qualifying offer put on him already, and if there's an opt out of how that works, it doesn't matter. But because they would get picks if he leaves, obviously, if they put the qualifying offer on him. But yes, he's been incredible. He is a baseball player. I mean, that is the definition of Cody Bellinger. I know it's cliche. A million people have said it. I wish I had a better term. The dude's a baseball player. He does everything. He's incredible in the outfield in all three positions. He can play first base. He has a two-strike approach. He hits left-handed pitching. He hits big home runs. He has been everything you could possibly want. Everything you could possibly want. I mean, it has been a tremendous... Like, again, I'm not looking to give Brian Cashman any support right now because I do think right now he's got a lot of work to do, and if he doesn't do it, I'm going to be annoyed. But that's one hell of a trade. You could say whatever you want. I know it's a money dump. He traded Cody Petit. They didn't even keep him. That was a tremendous move to get Cody Bellinger here. He's been everything you could possibly want. Hit the big home run last night. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll continue to take your phone calls. We got you for another hour. We'll come back, say good morning, and take you for one more as we got you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.